Saturday morning, live from the centre of Bolito on 88FM, Radio Life and Style. And it gives me great pleasure to bring something different to your Saturday morning, and I hope that it is inspiring for you. And it's a big day. We've got all sorts of excitement coming in the form of sporting entertainment a little bit later. There's live music at the Lifestyle Centre in two special nodes, and of course coming to you live from the centre of Bolito, your radio station, Radio Life and Style. I'm Dave Charles, and with me now is Sister Usha Jevan. She is with the Brahma Kumaris. Now, Brahma Kumaris' sister Usha Jevan was born in South Africa, has devoted over three decades to the study and teaching of Raja Yoga Meditation under the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University. Her pursuit of spiritual truth has led her to transition from engineering studies to full-time service. She started her journey in Johannesburg and is now based in Durban, where she serves as National Coordinator and Director of the National Brahma Kumaris Board. Sister Usha has represented the organization at international climate conferences and served on the board of the Southern African Faith Communities Environment Institute. Her inclusive approach enables her to engage with diverse groups across society. She views spiritual practice as a transformative journey guided by divine principles. She travels widely, spent a long time in Guyana in 2020, and continues her service now based in Durban with dedication and purpose. Welcome to you, Usha.
Thank you, and good morning to everyone.
And how lovely to spend a little time with someone who clearly has found the way. I look at you and I see someone that is deeply spiritual, and you don't have to say a word. I can see the peace that radiates from you, and I want some of that. So maybe we can find out a little bit more about what family in harmony means in the context of Brahma Kumaris philosophy.
So the beautiful thing is that, you know, when we think about family, we think about what holds us together, our blood type, our parents. And in the Brahma Kumaris, we actually have a very powerful awareness that when we look at the individual, we stop associating with the physical. Not the physical, meaning that I don't associate with someone because of the color of their skin, their gender, their age. Because we see the body is just like an outer covering, like the clothes we wear. Because we call ourselves human beings. Mm-hmm. And so that external, which I just described, is actually the human. And that human is fallible. That human has limitation. It will have a limited time period. And everything in terms of its training and all of it will be limited to what it's been exposed to.
And a sell-by date.
And that's it.
The older one gets, and the more the world has almost in a sense created a kind of ticking time bomb, in the sense that we age and we live in a certain way, and sometimes our habits determine that we don't live in the most healthiest of ways, but we, you know, we enjoy life, and because ultimately we're going to reach, you know, 70 if we're lucky, and then we're gonna die, so why worry too much?
Exactly.
But with modern medicine now, you don't die necessarily. You're kept on for another decade or two with medical intervention, living this horrible physical existence. Horrible, because you're alive, but you're not having any fun, and we can't just, you know, in a sense, just, you know, switch the light off.
Exactly.
That wouldn't be good necessarily. But if you are spiritually connected and aware, then if the outer shell is no longer hale and hearty, you're still good.
Yes, and the thing is that, you know, because you identify with that shell, you get very worried and concerned, and you start actually putting more energy into it. Whereas the living being that is part of the human actually is what is the engine for that human body. And the thing is that, you know, when people run the comrades, they tell you that 20 kilometers at the end, your body is too exhausted. You can't run anymore. But your mind takes over. And you run the race because you tell yourself you can do it. The physical body is already exhausted. So what I want to share is that when we look at ourselves not only as the physical, but an energy that drives the physical, we have a different perception of ourselves.
It's very interesting that I've heard people describe the fact that you have a spirit living inside the body. And then there's a different approach that says, no, the spirit isn't living inside the body. The spirit is the being, and the body is just a mechanism.
That's it,
carrying it, if you like.
So that's a very nice way of putting it, because when you look at the driver that sits in the car, actually the car is fantastic. But if the driver wasn't putting the keys in ignition, that car would just be metal. And if we could think of our body as being the car and the energy as being the driver, we would have a complete different perspective on ourselves.
Now, when it comes to family, and this is we're headed towards the festive season now. In fact, for many, it started already. Lots of holiday makers are. Family is important, huh? But so many families are in disharmony. Mm. And, you know, when you think of harmony within the family, it's an essential foundation for harmony in society. So presumably, if we have dysfunctional families, we have dysfunctional society. Mm. And your movement clearly has a view on that.
Yes, because if I'm looking at the person as the being and not the body, then I'm not putting people in little boxes and dividing them based on the physical elements. You know, even in a family, if some group is very intellectual and they like to have a stylish way and somebody is very plain, we sort of outcast that person because they're not like us. So we're using many physical modalities to create separation. But when we leave the physical out and we start looking at the spirit, it's in that we're all the same. Means that the energy within us is an energy of peace, an energy of oneness, so there's love, an energy of knowing that I'm enough, so there's contentment and happiness, and an energy of knowing that I am constant, I'm powerful. So when I see myself from that way and I look at others that way, there's a natural feeling of that we are one. So we allow individuals to reflect what is more eternal in our relationships, the physical things that will change, or these things that are our values and our virtues. And if we start looking at people with values and virtues, then we'll find our commonalities.
What you're describing is fascinating, because it resonates across the board. Every spiritual being, I mean, I'm talking about people that are interested in matters spiritual. And I'm not talking religion here. Mm-mm. I'm talking in terms of our purpose. What are we? What are we here for? What is it all about? Mm. And your religion may well play into some kind of answers that you have. But I think beyond that, there is a kind of universal brotherhood, sisterhood of humanity that is, we are all on the same journey. We just are looking at it from different perspectives. Your philosophy, if you like, it's not a religion.
No, it's not a religion.
And it's taught through yoga?
That's it.
Where does it come from? Where did it start, and where is it available to be explored?
So it started off in Pakistan, in Hyderabad, Sindh, in 1937. And the knowledge of the Brahma Kumaris is really very simple, looking at ourselves as spiritual beings and looking at even our creator as a spiritual being, removing any physical identification. And this can be taught in many different ways, but just for the sake of understanding, if we all go back to where we say things like, don't judge a book by its cover, there's more that meets the eye, all of these tells us that the physical is just the packaging, there's content inside. So in our day-to-day living, we already know the answers. I feel that everyone already knows, but we're not focusing on what we know. We've been distracted by the physical. As you sit here, there's a part of you that has the wisdom of who you really are. But if you're not focusing on the inside and you're focusing on the outside, you would lose connection with your real self. So what the organization is doing, it's creating and facilitating spaces for people to learn how to become quiet, to become still, to become reflective. You know, Eckhart Tolle has really started this whole thing of being present. When you look at those practices, it helps me even start listening to myself. It allows me to observe what I'm doing. So then I reconnect with who I really am. And when I know who I am and then I interact, I'm not actually wanting anything from anyone. You mentioned something very important about conflict in our relationships. Conflict is coming because I'm not satisfied with what I'm getting from the person in front of me. But if my relationship is not based on what I want from you, but just to share, which is the purpose of our being, then actually I will never get upset with anyone. I'll never get irritated. I just let them express themselves. I share that moment with them and I move on, because I'm not actually feeding off other people. And a lot of the world is about what can I get from the outside, because we forget that we are enough. Whatever we need already exists inside of us. So our practice of meditation is learning to become introspective and introverted. I'm using meditation, and that can feel like it's Eastern or this or that. But really, to meditate really means to put a focus on something that's positive and pure.
It's a beautiful philosophy, and it's what ultimately we are all desperately seeking. And I'm sure many listening to this are saying, how do we find out more about Brahma Kumari, and where can we tap into just the beginning of the information that is presumably there for all to benefit from, and possibly to find the meaning that we've been looking for? It doesn't mean it is exclusive in terms of whatever your faith might be. This is not going to disrupt that. It's just simply going to add to.
I found people who are of Christian faith would say that learning to become more quiet and still has allowed me to be a better Christian. And I think that's what's so beautiful. We participate a lot in interfaith things. And when all people of different faiths do their religion, we close off with a silent reflection. So it doesn't actually become an intrusive factor in what our beliefs are. But the practice, I sometimes feel when we've become so busy doing religion, we've removed the spirit out of religion. And we need to bring back the spirit, which is peace and love and happiness. And those are unifying factors.
And what you say now reminds me, somewhere back in the teaching, when I think about it, is an instruction to be still and know that I am God. And I think that is so special. So, again to the question, where does one tap into this wonderful resource?
Where I'm based is actually in Durban, and it's a place called the Global Peace House. So it's a meditation center, but we have centers in other parts as well. So what we can do is share our information. There's also a website that people can go into. And what we do is we do an introductory course to talk about, when I think about who am I, the definition of my real self. The God thing comes up quite often. And we use the God thing to separate us into different religions. But our concept is that God is just an energy like the sun. And then the law of cause and effect, that we are busy interacting here. So how does our action has an impact on our mind? So there's these like 8 different sessions that allows us to get a little bit more clarity on what I'm doing here, how I'm doing, and how does it in fact impact on my thinking. And if I can become more connected to how my thinking is actually making me do things that I don't want to do, I can change that. Because you know what's amazing is that it, in any given moment, you're sitting and listening now, but you could be thinking something else while listening. You could also be feeling something that's on your tongue. So we can actually be creating multiple levels of thinking. So in one day, we can think up to 80,000 thoughts.
Wow.
Now just think, if 80,000 thoughts are seeds and they get thrown into our environment, am I cultivating a garden or a jungle? So what we do through these causes is just to create points of highlight, points of awareness. But internally, or in fact, what will happen is that you will teach yourself, because you know what is right and wrong. I don't have to tell anybody stealing is incorrect or being dishonest is a problem. We know that. Why aren't we able to do it? And that's because we ourselves have distanced ourselves from our own reality. So The course just helps us to remind ourselves, to reawaken that truth. And then you just practice wherever you are.
So you don't join a group?
You can join the group to do the course. So let's say, for example, in Belito. And actually, we were going to do something here. Because actually, I'm on a little tour. I was in Stanger and I did something there. I did something at Princess Grant. And I was thinking of actually of doing something here. But we didn't quite get around to it.
Well, maybe we can invite you to come back to Belito. It's
yes.
a much bigger than just the little village that used to be. It's now almost a megalopolis of the North Coast Belito brand.
Right.
Lots of folk, I think, looking at spiritual wellness and exploring ways of being better. And I think
and
we're
I think
all looking for that.
The word is spiritual wellness or even just well-being. Because, for example, we all know we need to exercise. We all know we need to eat healthy. But when I'm feeling a little sad, then I give up all those things. So to even motivate a well-balanced life, I need to have a happy mind.
Well, hopefully what you've heard today has inspired you to find out more. What is the website as we wrap up?
I'm going to... Okay, so the website is www.brahmakumaris.org.za. And you can actually even WhatsApp us on a number 083-430-8926.
And as this is going up as a podcast, you won't have to write that down. You know that you can listen to it again on demand via our website or our apps. My very special guest, Sister Usha Jevan from the Brahma Kumaris. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing. Very valuable.
David, if you don't mind, I thought just to give everyone one little thought. And that is that if you visualize when you think about yourself, just like how you take white light and you pass it through a prism, it refracts into the seven colors of the rainbow. Invisible light is seven colors of the rainbow. And every color has a frequency. So if you visualize like yourself to be this energy of light and understand that what comes from you is peace, love, happiness, joy, wisdom and power. So the next time you think about yourself as I, instead of only making reference to the body, think about yourself as this energy, this being of light, and that you are naturally peaceful, pure, loveful, powerful, wise. And when you have that attitude about you, when you interact with others, you'll be sharing that with everyone.
Wonderful thought to end with. Again, my very special guest, Sister Usha Jevan from Brahma Kumari. If you have found it interesting, and I hope that you have, you'll be able to find out more on the website. And as I say, this is up as a podcast, so you'll find all that information by listening to it again on demand. Thank you so much for joining us on
Thank you.
FM.